This is Kent Newsom. Welcome to the September 15th, 2006 edition of the Newsom.org Rancho Cast. We didn't have a podcast last weekend because on Thursday night, my fifth straight power supply blew up. This time I saw fire come out of the back of my computer. That's a first for me. Got it fixed, but it was a pain in the ass, and we didn't have a chance to do the podcast. And so tonight, we're going to make up for lost time with the first of our vinyl shows. As I mentioned on my blog, I have been going through some old out-of-print LPs of mine and converting those songs to MP3 with the help of a USB turntable that I bought off Amazon. It's for sale in the Newsom.org store. If you go to my blog, you can buy one just like it, and I'll tell you about it later in the podcast, and you can see if it's something you might want. Let's jump right into the music. I have converted a ton of old records to MP3 lately. Some of them sound great. Some of them sound average. Some of them sound horrible. But the bottom line is, these are songs that I haven't heard in a long time that I'm now being able to play for you and listen to thanks to the magic of my USB turntable and some time in front of the computer converting these songs. Let's jump right into it. The first one I'm going to play is by a guy named Don Harrison, who put out some records back in the late 70s. His bass player and his drummer were recently out of CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, and he had an excellent guitar player as well. Great band. You can tell the CCR sound when you listen to this record. But this is off of his Don Harrison Band self-titled record from 1976. And this is about the best cover of the Tennessee Ernie Ford song 16 Tons that you're ever going to hear. This is Don Harrison, or the Don Harrison Band, I should say, doing 16 Tons, leading off the first vinyl edition of the Newsom.org Rancho Cast. You can really tell the CCR vibe from that song, and I'll play some more songs off that record later in another podcast, but That's his first one. That's a good one. Let's start playing another one. Doesn't sound quite as good off vinyl. This is off Billy Swan's I Can Help record, which is hard to find. I think it's out of print. When I was a kid, I won down at the beach. It's red transistor radio playing bingo. I think it was just AM. And I used to lay in bed at night when I was going to sleep, and I would listen to Whoa Whoa from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Boy, I miss that station. The two stations I listened to the most growing up were Big Ways, WAYS, in Charlotte, North Carolina, which I think is now a sports station and has renumbered or renamed itself, and Whoa Whoa, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's amazing that in South Carolina I could pick up a radio station so clearly from Fort Wayne, Indiana. But I used to listen to Whoa Whoa just about every night when I was going to sleep when I was a kid with a little one-ear earplug or earpiece on a little red AM transistor radio that I'd won playing bingo down at the beach. And one of the songs I used to hear that really got me into music was Billy Swan's I Can Help. Here it is. You can tell it's off vinyl. That makes it sound even better. This is Billy Swan doing I Can Help on the vinyl edition of the Rancho Christmas Carol. It takes me back. Another guy I used to like a lot, still do, is Bobby Bear. You can find a lot of Bobby Bear greatest hits, some of his newer stuff. But his old stuff, back from the 60s, is hard to find. But I found one on Amazon. I converted it over to mp3.com. Again, you can tell it's off vinyl, but it's worth it. This is Bobby Bear off his 1968 record, Folsom Prison Blues, doing the title track, which is, of course, a Johnny Cash song. But he does it well. It's Bobby Bear, Folsom Prison Blues, here on the vinyl edition of the Newsom.org Rancho Cast.
I hear that train a-coming, rolling around the bend. I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. And that train keeps a-moving on down to San Antone. When I was a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a cat in Reno just to watch him die. Yeah, I know I had it coming, I hang my head and cry. Folks eating in a fancy dining car, probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, that's where I'll always be. And them people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison and that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I long to stay. Yeah, I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
You can probably tell already whether you're going to be into the vinyl editions we're going to do here. I'm thinking about going to an all-vinyl edition all the time format because I'm so interested in hearing some of these old songs I haven't heard for a jillion years that I can't see an end to me buying these old records and converting them over to MP3. Let's do another one. One of my favorite songs of all time, if I ever do a top 20 all-time song list, Jesse James by Country Joe McDonald will be on there. It's off his self-titled record from 1974, hard to find, out of print. But this is a song off the same record. It's not Jesse James. I've played Jesse James before on this one. I had an old, terrible-sounding copy of that song that I've played before. I've got a better version now. I'll play it later. What I'm going to play is an excellent song off of the same record, Country Joe McDonald's Country Joe record from 1974. This is Pleasin', mighty fine song by Country Joe McDonald here on the Rancho Cast.
Girl, Hey girl, you know that you've got me thinking. About the way that things could be, about the love that's between you and me, and you know it's pleasing. Yeah, yeah, you're so pleasing. Hey, girl.
Another band that I've played before in the Rancho Cast is Fever Tree. They were a psychedelic rock band from Houston, of all places. Reasonably popular for a short period of time, but very underappreciated in hindsight. They sound kind of like a combination of Steppenwolf and The Doors. I really like their records. I have two of them now. Another Time, Another Place, and their self-titled Fever Tree record. I've played What Time Did You Say It Is in Salt Lake City before in the Rancho Cast, which I think that's one of the best classic rock, psychedelic rock songs ever recorded, and I like it. I've played it a ton. I'm going to play another one now. This is a second track off of their self-titled Fever Tree record from 1968, straight off vinyl. This one is an awesome Doors-sounding song called Where'd You Go? Fever Tree, a little local band from Houston, Texas, from back in the day, here on the vinyl edition of the Rancho Cast.
What do you
I like that song just about as much as I can like a song. I just think that's just got such a good vibe. As I mentioned, Fever Tree was from Houston, and their songs were written primarily by a couple, a husband and wife production team, the Holtzmans, Scott and Vivian Holtzman. They were from Bel Air, Texas, which is where I live. I read that somewhere, maybe on the back of one of their album covers. And there's a family called the Holtzmans that go to my church here in Bel Air, and I wonder if maybe they're not related. Maybe they're the children of this couple. I want to ask, because I didn't know about the Holtzman connection. The Holtzmans were primarily known for songwriters for such people as Tex Ritter, and they wrote some of the songs on the Mary Poppins soundtracks. They were very successful songwriters, but writing for a psychedelic rock band was a bit of a departure for them, but it sure did work. Mighty good sound. A little bit of tech talk, different kind of tech talk tonight. I told you I've been converting some records over from LP to MP3, some out-of-print stuff, some stuff I had, and I've bought some LPs off of eBay to convert, some stuff that you can't get on CD. And I bought this USB turntable. It connects right to your computer, and I've been using it. And here, and my impressions so far are mostly favorable. The good side of it is it connects right into your computer with a USB connection. So if you pull up Audacity, which is what I use to do podcasts and to convert these songs, it's fairly easy to convert them into MP3 format. And if you have a good record, it sounds pretty good. Now, what I've found is some records, even new ones, I bought a Leon Russell record that I may play in a little bit. It was had never been opened from 1984, and it sounded terrible through this turntable. I bought these Fever Tree records that were opened and played, and they sound pretty good. So I can't really cipher out the pattern on which records convert well and which ones don't. Now, this record player only costs like $140 for a USB turntable, which is pretty cheap for high-quality electronics. And so I have to say that the sound quality on this turntable is nothing like what I remember back when I used to have decent turntables. And it certainly doesn't sound anything like what I remember from back in the day. And primarily by that, I mean it's almost every record will skip some. And I think that's more a function of some of the quality issues with regard to the turntable than some of these records, because I played records all the time back in the day, and some of them would get scratched, but I don't remember every one of them skipping like they do now. So I think this turntable is a trade-off. I guess if you're really going for the super high-fidelity sound, you'd get a better turntable, and you'd just plug it in through your in line on your sound card, and you could do the same thing. I'm just enamored with the USB function because it's easy, and I'm all about easy. So that's what I've been doing. That's the tech talk for the first part of the Rancho Cast. On the whole, I recommend this turntable. It sure allowed me to listen to some music again I haven't heard in a long, long time. I got to play one now by Tom Paul Glazer and the Glazer Brothers. I have moved a number of really good Tom Paul Glazer records over onto MP3. And one of them I did was a record from 1973 called Charlie. And I'm going to play the title track. First song, Charlie. Good sound. The Glazer Brothers were amazing back in the day. Tom Paul Glazer later became the founding father of the outlaw country music movement. I've played some of his stuff before, but let's play one from 1973. First track off the record, Charlie. That's the name of the song and the name of the record here on the all vinyl edition of the Rancho Cast.
You gave her everything but your life, Charlie. But you proudly made her your wife, Charlie. Then you left her without leaving, and she could not understand. Doggone you, Charlie, what a man. But you send your kids a check every month, Charlie. And you take them to the zoo twice a year, Charlie. And you tell them they can count on you if they need a helping hand. Dang you, Charlie, what a man. Rock on, Charlie, do your thing. Sing the song Bellamy taught you to sing. Then put together pieces to somebody else's plan. Dang you, Charlie, what a man.
Mm-hmm.
Your price for living's high, but you look good, Charlie. You've made your money buy the things it should, Charlie. Acceptance in the country club and a golf date with your boss. Doggone you, Charlie, you're a hoss. Everything is working but your heart, Charlie. If it stops again, the doc said it won't start, Charlie. And your wife sits there beside you with a sad look in her eye, friend. Dang you, Charlie, please just dine. Rock on, Charlie, and do your thing. Sing the song Bellamy taught you to sing. Then put together pieces to somebody else's plan. Dang you, Charlie, what a man. Oh, dang you, Charlie, what a man.
Well, I can't do an all vinyl edition, even the first one, without playing one by Raging Fire. Anybody who lived in Nashville back in the mid-80s would know about Raging Fire. I met this band. I actually knew a little bit, Melora Zaner, who was the lead singer, who was a delightful person back in the day. They were a band from Nashville. If I recall, I'm pretty sure Melora was a student at Vanderbilt at the time. Maybe all of them were. Saw them play a few times. They were a mighty fine band. I don't know of any CDs they have. They were on a compilation, 10 of a Kind, I think, and I saw one of their songs on there. But this is off an LP called A Family Thing, the title track. It's some good alternative rock and roll from the mid-80s. Raging Fire. You're not going to hear Raging Fire anywhere else. No other podcast in the world is going to play Raging Fire. Last I heard, Melora Zaner was working for Microsoft. She may still be. I didn't know her that well. Haven't talked to her in a jillion years, but she was delightful back in the day. I'm sure she's delightful now. Well, this is Raging Fire, Family Thing. Some good old Nashville rock and roll here on the all-vinyl edition of the Newsom.org Rancho Cast.
Brush my hair out, trip down the stairs into another Monday. What would my mother say? I heard the door slam a thousand times, and you left me. I know it's a family thing.
Stop, G-Down, and stop!
love the way that song starts out so nice and mellow and soft, and then it just breaks into some great rock and roll after a bit. That's a good sound. I like that song. Let's take a minute for some tech talk. I've been writing some the last few weeks about this whole Web 2.0 business and advertising, and I want to talk about it a little bit because if you read my post, when I read my post, I think, man, I sound very negative on the whole Web 2.0 deal. And I'm really not negative on technology. What irritates me is very simply this. People who have obvious and blatant skin in the game acting as cheerleaders with the entire theory and the entire idea that advertising can support multiple industries. It can support the AOLs, the Googles, the Web 2.0s, the Web 1.5s, the Web 3.0s. Everybody in the world is going to get rich, not just make some money, mind you, because they're all going to get rich, hundreds of millions of dollars, because somebody's going to pay them to stuff ads in front of our face that none of us want. I wrote a post the other day in response to a couple of posts Fred Wilson had made, and I'm not trying to dump on Fred. I like Fred. I read Fred's blog a lot. I don't find Fred to be a very conversational blogger. At least he's very selective in his conversational blogging, and that's fine. But I still like him, and I'm pointing out just where I disagree with him. He won't engage me, which is fine. So I have to do it tongue in cheek, and I have to do it from afar. But you know, Fred's got this belief that people will pay for content, or I'm sorry, will suffer through advertising if they can get good content. And I think that's probably right. But the threshold at which people will suffer through advertising is a lot higher than I think Fred thinks it is. But he had a post about YouTube, and I've got a couple of responses, and I think you start stuffing a bunch of ads in the beginning and end of clips on YouTube, and YouTube's going to go to hell in a handbasket real fast. Somebody at Microsoft was quoted yesterday when they were talking about putting works on the web about how they're concerned about sticking ads in there because they know consumers don't like them, and they don't. But, you know, what gets me about this whole Web 2.0 business is it's all based on advertising, and there's no scale. You get a bunch of VCs and then some other people who think they can make a fast buck and then some developers who aren't really business people but are more technicians. And they get in a room together and they start getting all excited and speaking in tongues and jumping around like Jimmy Swaggart because they think they're going to make a whole bunch of money off people like me and you in this Web 2.0 advertising business. It's not going to happen. And there's no scale. Where's the scale? Why has everybody got to make $150 million? You know, I mean, I'm pretty business savvy. I don't talk about it a lot, because I want people to draw their own conclusions. But I've been involved in business. And I lost a fortune in Bubba 1.0, but I made one too. So I didn't come out. I didn't lose any real money. I lost a lot of money I'd made. But I made it. I knew how to do that. And I could probably do it again if I was willing to jump into the ad business and apply the greater fool theory to the detriment of my readers and other people. I'm not going to do that anymore. And if you think for a skinny minute that as an outsider – there's any money to be made in Web 2.0 for you, you are in deep, deep dreamland. By the time the few of these companies that ever do go public, you know, the money's already been made by the people that are going to make the money. We're just the people that are going to fund the money they're making. And that's a gospel fact. And there are exceptions. I get involved in some IPOs through my broker. And when Google came out, you know, they did that bid thing. And I can't remember what the successful bid price was, maybe $125, something. It was something high. And I thought that was totally ludicrous. And I didn't buy a share. Well, I should have. I should have bought every share I could afford more, flipped it down, make a fortune. But, you know, I was wrong. But for everyone I'm wrong on, there's a bunch I'm right on. And people who are going to make the money on this Web 2.0 stuff are going to be short-termers who get in and get out quickly before Bubble 2.0 blows up. You know, because Bubble 1.0 was about ads too. And none of these cats who are writing their blogs now and trying to make money have any more experience, and all of them have less than I do in terms of advertising. I was smack dab in the middle of the internet advertising deal in Bubble 1.0, and I made a fortune in online advertising with my interactive websites and message board sites and whatnot back then, and had a contract to sell one of my websites for a silly amount of money. Now, the bubble burst before it closed, but, you know, that's okay. That's just life. Easy come, easy go. But internet advertising works because people think people will pay them to put ads in front of our face that we don't want. Now, there's a couple of ways that deal can fall apart. One is that we decide we don't want them and nobody clicks on these ads. Because ads used to be on a per-impression basis. You know, however many impressions you served, you get paid for that. But that didn't work. Now, most advertising is on a, you know, click-through basis. I don't believe anybody clicks ads. Now, I've got people who I like, Mike Miller, you know, Randy Morin, who tell me that you can make money with ads. Well, okay, you can for now because we're still in the inflate side of the bubble. But at some point in the game, that's going to stop. And it's, another way this can fall apart is when the people who are buying these ads realize they're not getting the bang for their buck that they think they are. They can not get their bang for their buck a couple of ways. There'll be no click-throughs, or there'll be click-throughs with no purchases, no money changing hands, because just getting you to click that ad is really not the ultimate goal of these advertisers. It's getting you to buy something, part you from some of your money. It's going to fall apart. And the people who get in and out fast will make some money. The rest of us won't. So I want somebody in this Web 2.0 business to come along with a business plan that doesn't involve just advertising. And what I really don't like is people who I think have blatant skin in the game, acting as cheerleaders for this for the myth of infinite advertising. There's some people who try to inject some normal business sense into this debate. You know, Nick Carr is a guy that I used to disagree with everything he said. Now, I agree with it. It's funny how it works. Now, everything he writes, I think that's poetic and exactly right. Even Steve Rebell said 6 months or more ago, there's going to be another crash. Mark my words. Go back and search his blog. I can't give you a link to it, but I know he said it, saw it. It's going to happen. I want somebody to come out and say, I don't need to make $150 million a year. I just want to put up a service. I want people to pay me to use it, and I want to make a living wage. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is there's no greater fool money to spread around to all the people who want to get involved in the process, and that's where the whole scale gets out of whack. So my thing on Web 2.0 is I love the technology. I use a lot of those programs every day. But I think that the fact that there's no scale here and the fact that the entire business model involves advertising, which is not infinite and is not permanent, is reason number one why real business doesn't take this seriously. Now, if they believe they can gin up enough excitement to get some underwriters and go public and sell some shares of YouTube to some greater fools, they'll do it. But believe me, they'll do it. The problem is that the whole business model is so fatally flawed that they're, so far they haven't been able to get enough momentum going to start bringing these companies public. Their primary exit strategy is to get bought by Google or Yahoo, and that's just not a very good business plan in my way of thinking. So I'd love to engage in conversations and in respectful conversations with some of the people who are on the other side of this debate. They won't engage me. I think primarily because they're trying to make money, and it doesn't really suit their purpose to engage in somebody who's thought about this, who believes the whole thing is flawed. If they were really serious about it, they'd want to examine these potential flaws. They'd want to tell me, you know, why I'm wrong. For example, you know, Nick Carr tries to impose some business logic to this debate, and what happens? Mike Arrington, of all people, calls him an asshole. And I said in my blog when that happened, when I'm arguing with somebody in real life or negotiating a deal with them and they call me an asshole, then I know I've won because they've taken the focus away from the issues and to the personalities. And, you know, that's just obvious, blatant effort to delay the inevitable defeat. You know, and I don't know Mike Arrington. He may be a good guy. My sense is he's being co-opted by his own bullshit, but I don't know him. You know, he won't talk to me. I don't care. I don't know him. Maybe he's all right. I don't know. But he's certainly a cheerleader, and he's certainly got either direct or indirect skin in the game. But you know what? People can be seduced by stardom. And if I was some dude who threw up a web page and all of a sudden became a blogger star, I'd probably be, I have to work real hard not to start believing my own bullshit. So, you know, that hadn't happened to me. Fortunately, I haven't had to face that temptation, but I admit it'd be a temptation. Anyhow, that's probably more tech talk for me than you ever want to hear. But I really feel strongly about these issues, and I do respect the technology on a lot of these Web 2.0 applications. I think technology is great. I mean, I'm a computer nerd from way back, and I love this stuff. It just bothers me when people try to turn something into exclusively a money-making proposition, and I feel compelled to drive my semi-truck through the holes in their logic, even if they do try to pretend that those holes aren't there. But anyhow, let's get back to the music. How about that? I think I got to play some more Fever Tree just because I've been so excited to have these records. One of the great songs they do, also on their self-titled track Fever Tree from 1968, is a pretty amazing cover of the Beatles' Day Tripper and We Can Work It Out. They do a little medley. It's a great sound. I just love this version of those songs. Here's a little Beatles, Houston, Texas, psychedelic rock style from Fever Tree off their 1968 self-titled record here on the all-vinyl edition of the Newsom.org Rancho Cast. It's our tradition to end with a blues song, but I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. I've played Peter Green before here. I've talked about the late Eddie Shaver, other people who I thought were excellent guitarists. Well, one of the guys who's one of my favorite guitarists of all time was a guy named Eddie Hazel. He died back in 92, but he was the original guitarist for Funkadelic, George Clinton's ensemble band that has made a lot of great music. And he was a phenomenal guitarist. I mean, just an unbelievable guitarist. Many people thought he was going to be the next Jimi Hendrix. He has one solo record that I know about that he put out, I believe, back in 1977 called Games, Dames, and Guitar Things. And the first cut on the record is a cover of California Dreamin' that is so incredibly different. It's almost like a different song, but boy, does it rock. And Fred Wilson, boy, I tell you, I write about it and talk about him a lot. I got to stop doing that. But he has a little series on his blog called Nuggets or Songs of the Day. And he put this song up, and I had forgotten about Eddie Hazel's record. I know his work from the early Funkadelic records, but I'd forgotten about his solo record. This is Eddie Hazel doing an unbelievably excellent cover of California Dreaming with some mighty fine guitar work. Wrapping up the September 15th, 2006 edition of the all-vinyl Newsom.org Rancho Cast. Check out this guitar and tell me you don't think it rocks.
Thank you.
That is one fine sound. It's good guitar work, boy. I like that sound a lot. Like early funkadelic. Man, that's good stuff. Good stuff. Early Parliament. George Clinton's a genius. He's a weird guy, but he's a genius. Well, thanks for listening. A couple of quick things. First, if you like what you hear, tell your friends about us. Our listenership is growing slowly. We really need some more listeners, and maybe... You know, people aren't interested in what we're doing, but I tend to be optimistic and think that if more people knew about the combination of good old classic vinyl, alternative country, Americana blues, some good funk, some good tech talk, I think it's an interesting combination, a good blend, like good Scotch whiskey. So tell your friends about us, please. Also about the music. I'm a longtime musician songwriter. These are low bitrate MP3s. I'm not trying to steal music from anybody. I'm trying to give some exposure to some music that I guarantee you don't hear on the radio. Go out, and if you can find these records, buy them. If you need to, go to eBay and buy the LPs and convert them like I did to MP3s, and you'll be all set. Good stuff. This is Kent Newsom. Thanks so much for listening. Please tell your friends about us, and we'll be back next week with another vinyl edition here of the Newsom.org Rancho Cast.